And a huge warm welcome to the Legends Show for a Friday, the Friday before a Merseyside derby. There's one thing on everyone's lips, of course, it's red and blue. I'm Steve Hothersall. Joining me in the studio, Graham Sharp, as always, and a man with an Everton shirt in his hand, a signed Everton shirt, and a broken iPhone.
Oh, goodness,
they all sorts of phones are going off. It's John Aldridge.
Yeah, Sharp, no, I've got my Celtic golf next week in Portugal. And Sharpie, very kind, he's got me a smashing signed Everton shirt by all the players, and I've got a Liverpool one then and some other things. So great stuff. Thanks, Sharpie.
No problem, mate.
Good stuff. And of course, you had your golf the other day, the Ryder Cup, Liverpool against Manchester United. And it was good to see you were teamed up with, you were facing Paul Scholes, weren't you, for the day?
Yeah, for the first off, me and Dietmar Amman, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. Mia, lovely. Yeah. So they had four balls in the morning, then individuals in the afternoon, 12 players each side, and we were paired up with Paul Scholes and David May, unfortunately, who plays off 10 and 8 respectively.
Yeah.
And is this excuses, Sharpie?
No, I don't know. I'm not saying it's excuses, but again, footballs and handicaps don't go together.
We know, we've seen it before, but we got mullered, to be fair. They were unbelievable. They were playing like scratch players, the two of them. We got absolutely past them. The afternoon, I got paired up with Paul Scholes again, and I'm thinking, I held my own up till about the 14th, and he lost the ball.
Yeah.
He lost the ball in this massive, big rough. For the first time, I thought, I'm in here. I'll get it all square. So I get up there, can't find it. Scholes is 20 yards further up, looking for the ball. Next minute, Jesper Blomqvist comes out. Is this your ball? With the ball in the air, he's found it in amongst all this 3-foot-high grass. Puts it down, and Scholes hits one 250 yards down the middle. There's no way he couldn't. He must have placed it on the tee for him.
No chance.
That was the end of me. It done me in.
Are you accusing them of cheating?
Is that maybe giving them a preferred lie, maybe.
So was there one point in it at the end?
No, in the end, he done me in the end, because it was hard work, you know, to keep up with them. He was so good. My excuse, anyway.
I just wanted great cash raise for charity, of course, and I just wonder whether we could do something in the future.
We might have
a little look at that one.
We'll
spread too many details.
But maybe, it's Liverpool v Everton next.
Maybe, yeah, absolutely. Got to find a course. Got to find some people to back it, and we might just move ahead with that one. Right, Derby weekend. Hopefully in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Robbie Fowler, if we can get hold of him. So Robbie's going to be on the show. And just to weigh it up fairly, in case you're a blue going, oh, you got a red on. On Monday... On Monday, we're going to have Sylvain Distan on. Good. So Sylvain feels that Everton will win this one. Mm-hmm. Maybe Robbie will feel Liverpool have got a chance. We'll find out in a moment or two. Who are the favourites, chaps? Take it away.
Oh,
who's the favourites?
Everton.
I don't think you can say favourites. Honestly, don't. Everton, West Brom the other night, 2-0 down. We're thinking, what's happening here? Great comeback. You know, great to see them win. But I wouldn't say Everton are favourites. Yeah, they're maybe in a better run of form at the moment, but I don't think that necessarily makes you favourites. Liverpool have been castigated in recent weeks about performances. The result last night wasn't great for them as well. But as everybody knows, in the Merseyside derby, throw the form book out the window. Honestly. And I think, you know, I looked at Everton when they were 2-0 down, and you're thinking, this isn't great. But they get a goal back very quickly. Lukaku, once he got the goal back, and I know he said the same thing, I felt Everton were going to get something from the game. You know, it was a good reaction, a positive reaction. But going into the actual game, yeah, I think everybody will probably say, yeah, Everton are favourite. But for me, I don't think you get many favourites in a derby game. Anything can happen.
Well, I went to the gym this morning, and one of my mates, Marcus, who's a good blue from Garston area, showed me a little betting slip. 50 quid on Everton to win 4-0 at 80-1. So, a lot of confidence amongst Everton fans.
Yeah.
But I think, obviously, the worry from our point of view is our defence. Hmm. You know, last Saturday, when we scraped the result against a poor Villa side, you have to say. Hmm. The lad up front done well for him, took his goal as well.
Yeah.
But it should have been, at 2-0, it should have been out of sight. You know, they were very poor. But every time they put a ball into our box, we struggled to deal with it. You know, you had three centre-halves there, Sharpie, and no one taking the bull by the horns. You know, I'll deal with this. They're all looking at each other, you know, and I'm worried. Okay, we played a different players last night. But we just can't keep clean sheets. We just cannot keep a clean sheet. And we look shut a bit at the back. And I think Everton will take advantage of that. I think it'll be goals, innit? I think, you know, we the one thing from our point of view that was really positive was the two lads up front, obviously Sturridge came and shown his class, his quality in front of goal. Ings, he's already a favourite with the club. And Coutinho in behind. Now, that they're the three that will win us.
Will Benteke play? Is he fit? No.
I don't think he'll play him. No. I don't think he'll play him. Even if he's fit, I think he'll be on the bench. Okay. I think he'll keep it with the way. Because he finished off really well against Villa, caused them lots of problems with the movement and the Gallagher, Coutinho. And they're the ones who could win us the game. But I think we'll have to score a couple of three goals to get 3 points against Everton.
Yeah.
So.
I just think it'd be interesting what Roberto Martinez does. You know, people were singing the praises of Delafield the other night. You know, he made the goals for Lukaku. I don't know whether he might go with Coney. You know, John said about balls coming in the box. Okay, that's a weakness. Delafield puts him in there. He's frustrating at times. I said that the other night as well.
Will he play him, Graham?
I'm not sure, John. I think Coney gives him more in terms of hold-up play. Delafield, I think he may be better using him in a sub and coming on, but he will have seen his performance the other night. The fans got right behind him, so there'll be a consensus of opinions from fans who say play Delafield. I'm not sure. I think he might start with Coney, but I think hopefully fingers crossed that Coleman and Stones will be fit, and that's nothing against the two lads that have filled in for him, young Tyus Browning and Boy Mori. But I think we're better with those two in, so hopefully fingers crossed they're fit.
Okay, let's take our first call of the show. It's not Robbie yet. Instead, we're going to go to the Dingle. Frank's a red. He's going to set the template for this legend show. Evening to you, Frank.
Evening, boys.
Hi, Frank.
Are you on a high? You're a Liverpool fan?
I wouldn't say I'm on a high. But no, seriously, on all jokes aside, I look at Liverpool and I do fear for them. In the way, I always class Everton at Goodison as our hardest league game of the season. No matter where Everton are in the league, you know, along with Old Trafford, that's another difficult one. But Goodison, to go there, and we played Man United at Old Trafford the other week, and I tell you what, the lack of character in the side and leaders and players who can manage a game on the pitch. Players you can boss things when the going gets tough, they're pulling the mates through, and there was none. Honestly, there was about five or six players on the, and by the way, they're not a good side, who didn't want to be on the pitch. Second half, when they went one and two, and we got there was five or six who just didn't want to be on that pitch, and that's what I'm not looking forward to Sunday, because if anything, Goodison is even it's hostile, it's in your face, and we haven't got any leaders, and that's my criticism of Rodgers. He's let every leader we've had go. From Rayner, from Agger, from Carragher retired. I think he could have done another year. Gerrard certainly could have done. I think Suarez was out of his hands. But, you know, I'm looking round. Who's the leaders? Who's the one bossing people and pointing fingers? Liverpool have not. It's just spineless. And that worries me going into a derby. Any game, but more so a derby. I think characters win your games. But we haven't got any. And, you know, John watches every week. I'd be very surprised if he said, I mean, who are they?
No, it's a valid point, Frank. It really is. There's no comebacks on that, mate. You look at the spine and all top teams have got a strong spine of players. Unfortunately, you're looking at ours, and there's not one talker, not one communicator. Jordan Henderson, when he's in the team, he tries his best. You know, Milner does try his best to be fair. Sturridge, a wee bit. But when you're mentioning from years gone by, when you've had, you know, as you say, Rayner, you had Carragher, you had Stevie Gerrard, and Sammy Hippier, you know what I mean? And we had a few lads up front who come into that category. And you do for me, I think you do need a spine player. You need at least two players there who are going to point the fingers. We love like we're old school. Mm. We love to see people putting fingers out there when something goes wrong and tell people you just don't see it no more. Mm. You know, not just the Liverpool, probably other clubs as well.
Well, John, I see that at Everton as well. You know, sometimes in Everton I'm doing well and I'm looking and thinking, who's going to give somebody a rollicking and say, you get in here and pull in here. And Everton are a very quiet team as well. You know, and it's great when things are going well and everybody's patting you on the back. But you're right, when you're up against it, and especially against in a derby, you need to roll up your sleeves. Absolutely. And you all have got to be in it. And if you're not all in it, you know, that's when you're going to struggle. So I'm a little bit worried, you know, when Everton, you know, are having a rough spell, that we haven't got enough leaders as well. I don't know if it's a modern day thing, you know, and football's changed that much where people are scared to shout at each other. But certainly going back to our day, you know, that was part and parcel of it. You made sure your teammate done his job, and if he didn't, you know, there'd be 10 others, you know, on his back telling him what to do and where he should be going. But it is a worry. But Frank, don't you think it's derby, anything can happen?
Yeah, obviously the famous cliche, the form what goes out of the window, which I hope in Liverpool's case that is. we haven't got any form at all. We you know, there's no balance to the team. Yeah, you could see last week with Ings and Sturridge, you could see something working there because they worked in tandem. And I think Ings, he's running in behind and he's busy and he's lively. And, you know, that gives Sturridge a bit of space. And I was impressed with them too last week. And it begs the question, why spend $32 million on Benteke? Because when he was in the side the first five games, that lad was living off scraps. He never had the chance. The team never created nothing for him.
Frank, great points. We're going to try and get as many people on as possible. Lots of people want to get their thoughts. Just give us a quick derby prediction.
Do we have to?
come on, Frank.
Come on today.
Go on, 2-1.
Liverpool.
Liverpool, of course.
Oh, you just called up for everything there. You've said 2-1.
Right. See you later, Frank. We'll get an Evertonian on. Next up, Tony's in Runcorn. Welcome to the Legends, Tony.
Good evening, boys.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I just want to speak to Sharp regarding the derby on Sunday.
Come on, mate.
To be honest, mate, I just really think that, you know, if we can play well the way we played against the likes of Chelsea and stuff like that, I think, you know, there's no better time to, you know, to punish Liverpool, because over the years we've had solid times against them, and I think this, you know, the right time to play them. They're having a bit of a bad spell at the moment, and I just think if we can, you know, from the first whistle, we just get right at them, because, you know, obviously the lads at the back, Sacco and Skirtle, aren't having the best of times. I just think, you know, the likes of Delafay on the ball and stuff like that, I think it's about time we give them a good
good hiding, Tony. You're right. But do you think he's going to play Delafay?
Well, on the Monday night's performance, I don't see why he shouldn't, because obviously, you know, the ball's into the box and he's tricky, and I think his game's improving, because I think obviously the last time he was on loan at us and stuff like that, you know, he needed a little bit more, you know, upper body, you know, he didn't look like he'd had a good ball of scouts or not, but now he's a different type of player, and I think, you know, it's been drilled into him, you know, if you do take a knock, because obviously the Spanish League, you know, it's not as physical as the Premier is, but I think Delafay can be a match winner for us on Sunday. That's, you know, that's just being honest.
Well, Tony, I think that the on Monday night especially, I think, and in this season as well, when we started quite well, and last season, you know, critical of maybe the front four, whoever the front four was, wasn't really functioning. But I think this year, that's been a difference. Lukaku is scoring goals. Ross Barkley's having a great start to the season. You mentioned Delafay as well. So there's actually players now in that front four. Coney comes in. Naismith has come in. So the players in the front four are having a big effect on the outcome of games and results of games. So, again, that is a big thing for us tomorrow, I think. Yeah, we've got to be tight, or Sunday, sorry, we've got to be tight defensively. You know, hopefully Stones is back and Coleman's back. But I think we can win it with our front four. Liverpool have got talented players as well, don't get me wrong, but I think our front four are probably the ones that are in form at this moment in time and may well make the difference.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Sharp. You know, also, as well, I'd like to Brendan Galloway at left back, come in. I'm stuck as Chanter, he's been fantastic for us.
Yeah.
Like another unsung hero, like I say, so.
Ideal. He's been excellent, the kid. He's been really, really good. Made a fantastic tackle on Berahino on Monday night. Last gaff's tackle. If he scores that, the game's probably over. But he's done really well. And I've said it time and time again, when you look at the young players coming through, it's a good group we've got at the moment. If he can keep them together, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, things will look a lot more brighter in the future.
Tony Darby, prediction from you?
Do you know what? I fancy us. I barely do fancy us. I'm going for 3-1, Everton.
3-1. And the goal's coming from?
I'd like to say Lukaku, Barkley and Dalafeu.
There we are.
Oh, there we go.
Go on, Tony.
Who are the possible Derby heroes? You look around the sizes.
The ones that score the goals.
It can be anyone.
The one that scores the winning goal, that should
hit. You know, as I said before, I just expect goals. I'd be very surprised if it's like 0-0 or 1-0. I think there'll be a few goals at least in the game. You know, if you have a little bet on one team to score, but both teams to score and a team to win, that's your bet. If you use Everton or Liverpool, that's the best of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, but Frank, the first caller was right in what he said, you know, but leaders and everything else. If Gerrard's still here, Everton would be fearful. Yeah, more fearful. I'm not saying that they're dismissing
point.
Liverpool, but they've been more fearful because of Gerrard and the history and what it's all about, being a Scouser in there and Carragher as well. But you know, big characters out the team now. Who is Jordan Henderson? I agree with John as well. Who maybe, listen, I'm not talking about fitting the bill in terms of replacing Steven Gerrard, but he's that sort of tenacious character, winning tackles and everything else. So I think, you know, hopefully from our point of view, that Liverpool really miss Steven Gerrard tomorrow.
Who was setting, if you like, the tone in the dressing room in your days for the derby, and who's going to do it on Sunday?
Well, I'm looking at Liverpool. Milner, maybe Lucas, who knows what it's all about.
But you can see a rousing speech from Lucas, can you, in the dressing room?
The quiet players. Unfortunately, I was talking about before, the quiet players. You know, there's no one that's going to go around, like you say, Liverpool, the first derby for a long time without a local lad in from Liverpool's point of view, because they're the ones who be vociferous in the dressing room, you know. But the players who've been there for some time, they know what it's all about. You'd expect them to try and do the players up and try to get them prepared and ready for what's in front of them. Because it is, you know, it don't care what you say, it's frenetic. It's in your face. It's like a hot potato at times, isn't it, Sharp? You know, in our day, it was ridiculous. Well, you got kicked before you kicked the ball, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't need anybody to get you up for it.
Yeah, but there must have been one in the dressing room. You must have had
it. You all were at it. And if you weren't, you were soon told. You know, even though you had quite people in there, everybody was like, come on then, win that first tackle, let's do this, let's do that, let's get after them. You know, and everybody was on board. You know, as John said, it's a lot quieter nowadays. There's not as many strong characters and personalities as there was in our time. But there'll be a few in the Everton dressing room, and I'm sure one or two of Liverpool lads will stand up as well.
I think Everton will if the manager gets it right, we'll have got to come out of Liverpool from the first minute and have a proper go and test Liverpool's back four. Or back five, whatever the way he goes. And if they don't do that, they're going to miss out, I have to say, from an Everton point of view.
Let's take our next caller. This is the Radio City Legends, 0151 472 0967. Kev's a Red, he's in Bromborough. Welcome to the show, Kev.
Evening, lads.
Hi, Kev.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hi,
before I start, obviously, I just want to point out I'm not coming on the show to bang on and try and get anyone sacked and get anyone out of a job. I'd love us to go on a 25-game unbeaten run.
Wouldn't we all,
I just wanted to make a point. Brendan was talking about the media frenzy last week with regards to trying to get him out of a job. To be honest, one of the problems we have is there's an awful lot of ex-Liverpool players in the media for a start. And I don't think I actually heard any of those lads asking for Brendan to be sacked.
No.
I think they were all discussing the results and the way that we were playing. And the performances, obviously, I think from the start of the season, we haven't had many great performances at all, really. I think we had about a half an hour spell against Arsenal away, where Arsenal were actually falling, to be honest, in the first 20 minutes, and were giving us the ball. Stoke away, we struggled. Bournemouth at home, we struggled. All of those games, and this goes back to about 10 or 15 games towards the end of last season.
That's right.
But Where Brendan wants to be, I'm sure he is aware. On Saturday, I went to the match and I had a spare ticket last minute, about 1 o'clock, quarter past one. And we sat over in the cafe over the road. I said to my mate, listen, I'll just go over and get rid of my ticket. It's about 2 o'clock. And I went over and the chief steward was there. I said, is any lads looking for tickets? He said, they're still on general sale. I said, you what? He said, they're still on general sale. Now, I can't remember, John, the last league game that we had tickets on general sale. Now, there was about 15 lads there, all with spare season tickets, all trying to get rid. I was there till 3. In fact, I was there that late that I missed the first goal because I couldn't get rid of the tickets for a mate of mine who, you know, obviously the tickets are worth 40 or 50 quid, so it's a few bob. And again, during the week, the European Cup game, there was masses of seats empty where I was sitting in the main stand. And I believe they've actually made an announcement that they're changing the way they're going to be selling the tickets. The general sale tickets. The general sale tickets are now going to go on sale to basically everyone how they used to be. Ultimately, they've had a members scheme, as you've known, John, for the last few years, allowing members to buy tickets, and I think it was £25 or £30 to become a member. It looks like they're now going down the road of allowing everybody to have a chance of getting a ticket on general sale. I think this is what's going to affect Brendan more than anything else, because they're not going to build that great big stand, John, and spend all that money.
Well, that was just going to say, Kev, for
it to have empty seats in. You know.
See, there's a problem. To sell tickets, you've got to have a feel-good factor, you know. For the last few years, you haven't been able to get a ticket for love of money at Liverpool. You know the score, you know, every game. It's ridiculous. But the big stand now, they've got to sell the big stand, you know, the corporate side. They've got to sell the 8,500 tickets. Mm-hmm. And whilst we're going where we are at the moment, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem because we're struggling. Like, hell, it doesn't matter, you know, who's out there. It's a big, big problem, you know, and I've been thinking about this for some time. And I'm sure the owners are aware of that. So it puts added pressure on the manager, doesn't it? And the players to start getting results, because they'll want it full to capacity next year, every game. And especially the corporate side, they want that sold before a ball's kicked next season, because you know, part of it's going to be paid by the corporate money that comes involved. So that's another problem that Liverpool have got. I'm not saying we won't not fill the stadium. I'm sure we will, but things have to start looking a little bit better on the pitch. That goes without saying.
Well, the thing is as well, the Champions League, and you know, whether it be the England lose a spot, the champion, yeah. It's only the top three go through. So all these things aren't helpful. And I agree with you. If there's no European football for Liverpool, no Champions League football, Europa League, you know, whatever you want to say about it is not what everybody wants. So it will be a problem. You know, and I understand that, you know, if that's the case and people aren't going through the turnstiles, that's when the owners start thinking, well, hold on a minute, what's going on here? And it's not, I don't think he has to look at the ex-players for giving them stick. I think he's going to have more concern about what the owners are thinking.
Well, the fans have really been vocal. We know that. And the ex-players, and I have to say, you know, I've read, there's been criticism there, but it's been constructive.
Yeah.
You know, no one's shouting about them. You can't go about that, especially when you've been in professional football and you've been managing yourself. You don't come out and say, you all know when there's a time for the manager to go. Mm. We all know, don't we? You know, you don't have to be daft. You all know when things happen. You say, well, that's to happen now. Mm. But you don't come out and say it.
Okay, Kev, we want to talk with you further, but we've got to take a break right now. Really appreciate you calling. Great points, mate. So give us your derby prediction quickly.
Oh, don't put me on the spot. The last game I predicted us winning was 1989 FA Cup final. And John remembers that one well.
Oh, I tell you what, I've never in my life since I've lived down in Liverpool seen so many Reds running scared.
The Reds don't want to predict tonight.
You've
they,
been watching us, Sharpie, by the way.
We'll let you off the hook, Kev. Thank you very much indeed.
Kev,
take care. We'll speak to you again soon. Brilliant stuff. We're going to take a short break. It's the Radio City Legends. We'll catch up on the charity bets later in the show. More of your calls as well to come. 0151 4720 967.
Graham Sharp and John Aldridge, the Legends.
Radio City Sport.
Radio City Talk.
This is Radio City Talk.
Hey, what's going on there? This is no easy listening.
This
lounge.
Is a love ever.
Sharpie just asked me to dance there. What's happening?
This is what I meant to play.
High forward towards McMahon. He's made a good run for the back. He's got beyond Kevin Ratcliffe. He's fed it square. Aldridge with a great chance. 1-0. John Aldridge, 4 minutes gone. A dream goal.
Barnes stepping forward. Fowler has made a great run. Fowler is onside. Fowler is inside the penalty and he's got Southall to beat. He's beaten him. Robbie Fowler, this phenomenal goal scorer, this great little player, has scored on his Derby debut.
Did you say yes when he asked you to dance? Sorry about that. That was completely my fault.
Forget about the Everton ones there, is it just...
It's coming on the next break. It's
why are you at home?
One.
You should be first.
Well, that's you're the favourites. Yeah, you've got to wait for that just before the end of the show. Yeah. It's Radio City
dogs.
Legends.
Yeah. Nothing to lose.
We are, although Roberto says that Liverpool are the favourites for this because of all the money they've spent.
That's
ahead
a good
of
point,
it.
Yeah.
We were watching before we came in. You did a piece on Sky, didn't you? Great Sky show. You were just reminiscing about some great Derby days. There's a great story about... obviously, when you'd come back from the Mersey Derby at Wembley. So just reciting, for anyone who didn't see the show, it's a brilliant story about how you were told, even though you'd lost, that you had to get on a bus going around the city centre. I mean, I found this absolutely unbelievable.
Well, remember in the 80s, mid-80s, it was great for Liverpool, the city of Liverpool, to go all these trips down to Wembley and everything else. But somebody in their wisdom thought, immaterial of the result, both teams are going in a city bus tour kind of thing, parading the trophy or whatever kind of thing. So Liverpool won the final, beats 3-1. We had a banquet at night, as you usually do, with the wives and the family kind of thing, and a few drinks here, drown our sorrows. But then in the next morning, we were to get on a bus to Heathrow Airport, get on the same plane as the Liverpool lads. Now, the Liverpool lads would have had a great night at their do. They came back on, champagne was flowing, we were sitting up at the back of the plane, miserable as sin. Get back into Liverpool, they got on the bus in the front, we got on the bus at the back. So they're away parading, we go down Queen's Drive. Only one player refused to go on the bus and that was Reedy. Reedy says, I'm not going on it. And he got fined kind of thing. I wish a lot of others had done it kind of thing. But anyway, we're on the bus going down Queen's Drive, going really slowly as you can imagine, everybody on the sides, hanging out the windows and the front gardens, cheering both teams, but mainly Liverpool. Anyway, we've had a few beers. We're not upstairs, by the way, in the open top. We're downstairs, you know, consoling
ourselves. As you wouldn't be.
Oh, we have a few beers and everything.
What a nightmare.
And
that must have been.
Shocker. Whoever decided that, I don't know. But anyway, cut long story short, going along with that, I'm desperate for the toilet. Desperate for the toilet. So I can't do it in a can or anything like that. I need to go off the bus. Need to go off the bus. So stop the driver and say, listen, you need to stop the bus, mate. I'm desperate. So he went, okay. It was only crawling anyway, so I jumped, went to this woman who was like waving at the garden, waving at the team. I went, excuse me, darling. I said, is there any chance I could use your toilet? I'm desperate. She went, yeah, go. And she showed me in the house, up the stairs, and the toilet was just in the landing. So I went, oh, brilliant. So I ran up the stairs. Thanks very much. Really appreciate that. So done the business, came out kind of thing. As I've come out, all her lads are lined up on the stairs, you know, all coming there. They all saw me going in and thought, oh, we're doing as well. So they're waiting. So they're all standing waiting. So, right, okay, next one goes in. I think the next one in might have been Vandenhoer. I'm not sure. Anyway, her husband's downstairs in the front room watching it on the telly. So it's on the local telly, the parade kind of thing. So he's thought, that bus has stopped outside my house. What's going on there? And he's come in the hallway, he's opened the door, and he's seen all these Everton lads. He went, get out my house. He was a red one. Get out my house. Guys, get out. There's a few expletives in there as well, and dragged all the lads out of the house. Back on the bus, and I was all right then, but the lads were desperate.
Isn't that brilliant? Even in victory, he's telling them, get out, you're not using my toilet. Absolutely superb stuff, isn't it? Right, let's get back to the game. Have Everton got a mental block in the Derby? Just given the past 10 years?
No, I don't.
Well, what goes wrong with Everton? Liverpool have had dominance, haven't they?
Well, they're the referee as well on many occasions. You know, not just dominance, but the referee. And the referee tomorrow, Martin Atkinson.
Hey, hang on. We got a Suarez goal ruled out the other year that would have had us winning.
Oh, hold on. How long?
Last minute.
Excuse me.
There was nothing wrong with that.
Excuse me. How long is this show? I could be here to 10 o'clock talking about injustices. No, but the referee's Martin Atkinson, and his last Everton Liverpool game is when he sent Rod Miller.
And it was never a sending off.
Never a sending off.
Right,
no, but anyway, mental block. No, I think a lot of supporters questioned that, especially in the semi final, when Everton were a goal up and lost the semi final. But no, I'm not. I don't know. Just on the days, we haven't been good enough. You know, you need a little bit of luck now and again, but, you know, over the time, they haven't been good enough to win it. So every time we went in as favourites, I've always like, hold on, hold fire here, because you can't go in as favourites. You know, you honestly can't, because of what happens on the day. As any football game, what happens on the day, and especially in the Merseyside derby. And I would have to agree with Brendan Rodgers. He said something in the press conference today about, you know, everybody's, you know, lauding Everton at the moment because they've had a really good start. Liverpool are what? How many points behind? Two? One? I'm not sure how many points they're behind Everton. So
it's ridiculous to think we're 5 points behind United at the top.
Exactly. So what I'm saying, it's not as if they're down the bottom like a Sunderland or that kind of thing. They're still in the mix. So I can understand. So it's not an easy game for Everton, and just because they're 2 or 3 points, whatever they are, I can't remember, ahead of them, it's going to be any easier. It's going to be a tough, tough game. Yeah. And Everton have got to approach it right.
Yeah, just what you hit on there, and I think it is a point, we haven't mentioned it, but let's hope the referee is sensible. You don't want to see players, unless it's a really bad challenge, you've got to go off. But first off, don't put himself under pressure and give himself silly little bookings for nothing. And then, you know, it spoils the game, you know what I mean? If someone is a proper booking, yeah, book him. But try and let it go, and try and let it be a really good game and flow.
Well, Martin Atkinson's given more yellow cards than any referee this season. Let's get to the phone lines.
Hold on, did you see the European games this week? What about those guys that stand behind the goals? They're supposed to be the fifth official or whatever. They missed two blatant balls that were a yard over the line and never done anything.
That was unbelievable.
That's how bad they are.
We thought it was a great clearance at first view, overhead kick off the line. And when you've seen it the next time, it's 2 yards over the line. And the fifth or 25th official who's watching it didn't even give a goal. What's that all about?
Frightening.
Next caller to the show. Let's welcome. I'm sorry, Robbie's actually double booked. He's in Ireland and he's rung us to say, I'm sorry, I'll come on a future show. So if you were listening for Robbie Fowler, we haven't got him. He's run away. We've got Liam, who's a blue. He's an adequate substitute. Yeah. And he hasn't got a mental block about Merseyside derbies. Hi, Liam.
Hi, guys. You all right?
Hi, Liam.
Just before we started, I just wanted to say thanks to Sharpie. I don't know whether you remember Sharpie, but this time last year, you came round our house. My stepdad was quite poorly at the time, and you came round and you gave him a big pick-me-up, so I just wanted to say thanks for that.
Smashing, Liam, thanks very much.
I just wanted to make the point on Lukaku, really. I know a couple of times you've been mentioned sort of what's going to be the key to the game on Sunday. I think Lukaku is that key, really. It's just what sort of Lukaku turns up.
Yeah.
I think he gets a bit of stick from the terrorists. I think sometimes, you know, it's warranted. I can understand where people are coming from. But I'm a big fan of Lukaku, and I think, he's still only young. People forget how young he is. And I think if he was English and he did achieve what he has so far, he scored the amount of goals that he scored. I think he's already scored 100 club goals quicker than Messi.
Yeah,
he scored 50 Premier League goals already. I think if an English player had done that, I think he'd be lording all over him, like sort of Harry Kane style. But he is frustrating. He frustrates the life out of me sometimes. But when he's on blob, there's few better than him, and I think if he turns up on Sunday, he could really hurt Liverpool. We told him about that shaky Liverpool defence. If he turns up, he could really hurt them. So I think he holds the key. But the question that I wanted to ask you, Graeme, was as a great striker, what sort of advice would you give Lukaku if he started to notice them movements from the terraces, you know, and he started to get him, what sort of advice would you give him?
Well, Liam, I look at him and everything you said there, spot on. His goal scoring record is exceptional, you know, for a young guy. You know, he's only in early 20s, so his goal scoring record is exceptional in the top level. My advice would be to him is make more of yourself. He's an absolute unit. You know, he's strong as an ox. And, you know, when he gets running at defenders, and, you know, he's a really placid guy. He's a really placid guy. But at times you like him to get angry. You like somebody to, you know, you'd be playing a game of football and if somebody went through the back of you and kicked you, you know, that would get you up and go, oh, let's go. People used to say the same with Duncan Ferguson. Whatever you do, don't kick him. You know, just say, well done, Duncan, you're playing really well in that today kind of thing. But if you kicked him, like, he went away and when he was like, he got up for the game. And I think sometimes Rom is like very placid, you know, and the ball's bouncing off him at times and, you know, doesn't seem to be any urgency. I'd love to see him get angry. I'd love to see him get angry. Now, whether that's in his makeup or not, I'm not sure. But for the game on Sunday, I would look to get him down the sides of Liverpool's defenders. You know, John and all the lads who have been on tonight have been saying about Liverpool, you know, defensively haven't been great. I think we've got to play more to Rom's, you know, assets. And I think Rom's assets, I'll say it all along, is not coming towards the ball. Liam, I think it's going the other way, getting on the shoulder of the last defender, running at people. When he runs at people one and one, you know, there's not many people that can stop him. So I'd like to see him, an angry Romelu Lukaku on Sunday, a more direct Romelu Lukaku, and go and show everybody what he's all about.
Are you confident, Blue Liam?
I wouldn't say confident is the word, to be fair. But I think you've touched on the mental block before. I slightly disagree, Graham. I think there has been a bit of a mental block in the past, but I think people forget five out of the last six derbies have been draws, so I think both teams have struggled to
good
get
point.
Over the line in a sense.
Yeah, good point, that, yeah.
I think, you know, barring a screamer from Jagielka last year, we'd have probably lost that game at Anfield, and it was a pretty dull affair at Goodison, so I wouldn't say confidence the word.
Go on, give us a scoreline.
I do think we'll win. I think we'll win by a goal, maybe 3-2.
Good man.
Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much,
Liam. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Just talking on Lukaku very quickly. Yeah. Our producer, Big Dave, who's a mad Evertonian, so it's not come from me. He says he's got the touch of a bouncy castle.
As long as that touch goes in between those posts, I don't mind. Hey, I don't mind.
Oh, that tickled John, didn't it? We're going to have a short break here, and then we're on to your charity bets. Did you? Did Roy Evans? Did Aldo? Did Sharpie? Did anyone get any bets right last week?
Yeah, I did.
Stick there, and you'll find out right here.
This is Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk, 105.9.
And, of course, Radio City 96.7, and this is...
Now Everton with Seamus Coleman. Coleman dragging the ball down the right side, past Konchesky, laid back for Cahill! Yeah! And Lincoln Hill off the other side of the crossbar! And the fight for superiority in the Merseyside derby goes the way of Everton! Billy Nectanoff swings one in, headed by Kyriakos, drops to Arteta into the ball! Yeah! He's absolutely rifled the piece into the corner of Rayner's net! And if Rob
Radio City Legends, 7:15. Significance of that, Sharpie, was?
What was it, the last time we won or something? I don't know. But no, but you know what, because thinking, what about those two players? Billy Electon off with a cross and Kyriakos headed out for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Dearie me, that's a few years
that
ago,
was about 4 years ago, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
4 years ago,
I was
that?
In Portugal, thankfully. That wasn't the game. That was every golf in Portugal.
That was Everton's last derby win of any sort, October 2010. That's a great link into our next guest, our ever-present bookie. He's the top man from Skybet. It's Dale Tempest. Evening,
how
Dale.
How we doing, lads?
Hi, Dale, how are you doing? I tell you what, your tips are brilliant.
I hope you're keeping those two apart in there, by the way.
Listen, I have to say...
Did you bet that Invermere last week?
I did, mate. Thank you very much. Thank you, because my football bets are rubbish, but that Invermere won me a few, Bob. Thanks very much, mate.
And that was what, Chester Races, wasn't
Chester
it?
Chester Races was fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Exactly. It's nice when it's the first race and it gets you off to a start. You're playing with the bookies' money for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Helped,
exactly.
Well, let's have a look. Let's just quickly reflect on last week, because Roy Evans was in, and he got 2 out of 3 right, but he went for Chelsea. And then Aldo, you went for
Chelsea. Let me down.
Arsenal and United. So you got 2 of them. Mm. And Sharpie went for Man United, Hull, and Walsall. So 2 of those were draws.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. All right, well, okay then, dear. Let's quickly get over that.
Let's
move on. I've gone for 2 in the Championship, Wolves to beat Huddersfield at home, and Derby to beat Brentford. And then I've gone down, and I'm into the League 2, and I've gone for Morecambe to beat Bristol Rovers. So that's Wolves, Derby and Morecambe. 3 home wins for me.
Oh, Morecambe's an interesting one. Bristol Rovers won 3-0 at Hartlepool. That's a really interesting one. I think you're at Wolves, great win for them at Fulham. Huddersfield, okay at home, but away from, well, generally they've been struggling this year, but in a bit of form. And Derby, I think you're right. I mean, the 4-6 for Derby to beat Brentford, just sacked the manager, and Derby look like they're just hitting the stride. So, yeah, we'll get you a good price on that one,
okay,
Sharpie.
Cheers, Dale.
Hope that delivers.
Thank you.
All right, Dale, I need a win. I'm going to go for Crystal Palace.
Oh,
fancy them,
I think. 5-6, I think they are, yeah.
Yeah, I think Everton's knocked the sails out of West Brom.
Early games kills everybody, doesn't it? It always does.
Your bet could be over by three.
No. I think Palace are a strong bet. I'm going for West Ham away at Sunderland.
Oh, 5-4 there.
Sunderland are strong. Is that all it is?
Yeah, I mean, they're short price. Well, they have one at the Etihad and the Emirates, haven't they? I mean,
I might change. What's Manchester City's price?
Were they 2-9, something like that, I think?
Yeah, throw them in as well. What's Chelsea, by the way, just in case? What are they? Chelsea?
They're around 7-10. So just, I mean, they're on the drift a bit, yeah. They're getting to a price that's going to tempt people in, I think, soon.
Well, I'll tell you what, scrub West Ham and go for Chelsea. Chelsea, Man City and Palace, please.
Mm. Okay, Chelsea, Man City, Palace. Yeah. Sorted.
Great deal of preparation goes into this.
More importantly, dear, what's the odds on the Merseyside derby tomorrow?
When we priced this up, couldn't separate them. 13-8 each of two. It's moved slightly now, 8-5, the Everton price. It's a really, really tough one, isn't it? No matter how Everton are playing, Liverpool always get a result at Goodison, don't they? Boys were playing. I'm sorry, it's just a fact, isn't it? They've not beaten them in, was it, 9 in the league?
Yeah.
Liverpool have lost 1-8 at Goodison. The only bet for me, 5 of the last 6 have been drawn, so if people don't like backing draws, I mean, it's obviously the obvious place to go. I'd certainly be putting my money on that. But the best bet's got to be James Milner pick up a car, doesn't it? His first Merseyside derby as Liverpool captain. You know, I just think, you know, him and Gareth Barry, they're just a little bit yard short of pace in there. They won't be able to help themselves in there. So that'll be certainly my bet on the day.
Is there any odds in the sending off?
Yeah, 2-1. Pretty short. But funnily enough, there's been 20 reds more than any other fixture. I think it's 4 more than any other. I don't think there's been one in the last 4 or 5 years, has there? I think it's one of those where it sort of drifted away. We always talk about it, but then we never seem to get one.
No, and
has the intensity gone?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The referee is Martin Atkinson, who sent off Jack Rodwell in the last
sending
game.
Off in the derby.
Yeah. That was the last one,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting one.
That seems an age ago, didn't it?
Yeah, it does. But with referees nowadays, Dale, you don't know what's round the corner.
It's 8-11, both teams score, which isn't a bad bet. People love the both teams to score one. Last weekend, I mean, there was only 5 teams of the 60 teams that played, I think, on Saturday, who didn't score.
Wow.
It was one of the... Sunderland were the only team in the Premier League didn't score from every game, so it was if you were backing both teams to score, it was heaven for you last week.
That's my favourite bet of the weekend, actually, Dale. I have to say, I always do 6 fixtures with both teams to score because it keeps you going to the 90th minute,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
It's a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
it
as you say, even if you know, it's 3-0 to one side, you've always got that chance, that consolation.
Absolutely,
it is a good bet. I like that one myself. Mind you, I banked Bradford Colchester on Tuesday, let me down for a fortune. Thought that was the certainty of the midweek. Game. There's always one that lets you down.
Oh, I'm glad it only happens. It doesn't only happen to us.
Oh, yeah.
Dale,
the punter's curse, the unlucky that went down, isn't it?
Yeah. If I pick up the vacant referee's pot again, I'll have Stoke to win. They'll beat Aston Villa away. I'll have Palace to do a job at home against West Brom and MK Dons.
MK Dons,
where have you pulled that one out from?
Got to drop down the leagues. I don't go as far down as Sharpie does. I know, but I just fancy turnaround teams.
Well, you've got to put a little fiver on that yourself just in case it comes up. Just worth a few.
Dale, what's the score everyone's backing for the derby? 1-1? A 2-2?
Yeah, it'll be 1-1. It'll be a draw. I mean, it's one of those that people do tend to... I mean, Liverpool are always popular on a Sunday.
We've done 1-1. I think we've had 6-1-1s already this season, Dale, I think.
I know, something like that. But if it ain't, you know, broke, don't fix it. You know, just stick with it. It's the way I'll be going into the game. There's so much tension. If his team goes in front, they don't go to kill it off. They just hang on to what they've got, don't they, and invite pressure. So that's why you end up getting so many draws in these games that mean so much. And it's interesting. This is the first one, isn't it, where the Thursday-Sunday. Do you know what I mean? Where Liverpool playing Europa League, and of course, it absolutely destroyed Everton's season last year doing it. This is the first sort of test, I suppose, for Liverpool. Can they get themselves up and get that intensity for the derby after playing, what, 3 days before?
Dale, great to catch up with you. Thanks for that. Charity
Bets. Hopefully we're celebrating next week, gents.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Sky Bet and Dale Tempest providing our £50 charity bet each for, for a good cause. Cash for Kids and the charity the guys.
He said about the Sunday, the Thursday, Sunday one, but only four players started from last week's game against Villa last night, so he shouldn't have really a bearing for me. You know, I expect, I don't know, Sharpie to know what Everton's team is, but I think Liverpool's team will be
very
the same. Mignolet, Sean, Skirtle, Sacco, Klein. I hope he goes Gomez left back because he's a better defender than Mourinho. Mourinho gives you a little bit more stability and balance going forward, but Gomez is a better defender. I think we'll need that on that side against Everton. Lucas and Milner in midfield, and then for sure it'll be Coutinho, Ings and Sturridge up front. That's what I think.
Same 11 as last week then. But maybe Gomez, and for you, Sharpie, your 11 is?
Howard and Goh. I think everybody been fit. Coleman, Stones, Jagielka and Galloway, young Galloway. I think Barry McCarthy will be the holding midfield players, and I think they'll go, I see an interesting one, I'll go Delafeu, Bartley, Naismith and Lukaku up top.
Okay, we've got a minute. Some quick fire tweets and texts that have come through. Robbie Gisoldo think Bogdan should get a start on Sunday.
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm not turning against Mignolet at the moment, personally, no.
Okay, Johnny, not feeling confident going into the derby after that Sion game. Shocking. Ben, I reckon we can take Liverpool. Lukaku's back to his scoring ways. He's going to be the main threat, Sharpie?
Well, I'd like to think so. You know, but hopefully it's not just him, it's the main threat. I think Bartley and Naismith and Delafeu or Coney.
Yeah, Ryan says, should Deulofeu start on Sunday? We could batter them if he plays well.
Well, if he doesn't play well, you know, what happens then? You know, it's a big ask for the young kid. He'll be full of confidence, but, you know, might go with a little bit more strength and what Coney gives you. So I think there's a few problems that the manager's got, and they're good problems to have.
OK, Harry and Mel says, I know he's young, but Roster seems like a great player with fire in his belly.
Hope so. I hope he does well for the club. He's a smashing lad as well, yeah.
OK, Merseyside Derby, Sunday, lunchtime kickoff. We've got 30 seconds to give our thoughts. It'll end up how, John?
2-2.
That would be a game, wouldn't it? After the 3-3 we saw the other year.
I just can't help him. I can't see us winning it, to be fair, at this moment in time.
I can see us winning, but I think it's a draw. Okay. I think it's a draw. I think, and people should, Everton fans shouldn't think that they're going there and going to see Liverpool fall apart, because they won't.
Okay, we finished this show with Everton as red-hot favourites to go into the Merseyside derby. And, of course, we'll be back on Monday when we'll have all the reaction to the big game. See you then.